afternoon, 4:30 and 68 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Courtney Howe.
This would reduce educational opportunity for all students, particularly low-income students and students of color.
Jefferson County School Superintendent Donna Hargan says passage of a neighborhood schools bill would be a setback to education in Kentucky.
An Ashland man pleads innocent to attempted murder.
And firefighters probe the cause of a blaze Friday night in the woods behind Nunn Hall.
The Moorhead State women's basketball team is on the road tonight at Tennessee Tech.
No stock report today because of the holiday.
Partly cloudy tonight, lows around 51 degrees. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
Fire early this morning destroyed a home near Louisa. WSAZ is reporting that the blaze broke out shortly before 4 o'clock at a residence on Red Branch Road. Officials say the house was fully engulfed in flames when first responders arrived. There are no reports of injuries.
Authorities are still trying to determine what sparked a Friday night fire that caused the precautionary evacuation of 248 residents of a Moorhead State University dormitory. However, Moorhead Fire Chief Jeff Anderson believes its cause was likely accidental. According to Anderson, the blaze began around 11 o'clock in the woods behind McClure Circle. It then jumped a ridgeline and headed towards Nunn Hall.
It spread up the hill and over the crest, probably about a 5-acre fire. Generally, we would let that fire burn until the morning when it's a little bit safer to get in the woods. But with the concern MSU had, we went on and called in additional crews from mutual aid and worked it that night and contained it that morning before we left.
Which was around 9 a.m. Saturday. Crews from the State Division of Forestry came in to mop up and make sure the fire was completely out. Anderson says the Nunn Hall residents were allowed back in the dorm after a couple of hours. There were no injuries during the incident.
An Ashland man has pleaded not guilty to an attempted murder charge. MSPR's Victoria Agee has the story.
According to the Daily Independent, 35-year-old Mitchell Shutt was indicted last week by a Boyd County grand jury. The victim was Shutt's former girlfriend, whose name has not been released. The incident occurred on Blackburn Avenue in Ashland in December. Apparently, the couple had a fight and the woman ran off. Police have accused Shutt of chasing after her in his pickup truck, driving up onto a curb and running over her. The woman is being treated in Cable Huntington Hospital for multiple injuries. Ashland police arrested Shutt shortly after the incident. He's jailed on $20,000 bond. Attempted murder is a Class B felony. It is punishable by 10 to 20 years in prison. Reporting for Moorhead State Public Radio News, I'm Victoria Agee.
Two Scioto County residents and a Huntington woman are facing child neglect and drug charges after West Virginia State Police allegedly found them shooting up meth inside a vehicle in which a 2-year-old boy was sitting. According to the Huntington Herald-Dispatch, 26-year-old William Moser and 34-year-old Tamara Weekly, both of Proctorville, and 29-year-old Tammy Fox were arrested Saturday in a church parking lot in Huntington. Troopers claim the three were inside a sport utility vehicle and there were numerous needles spread throughout it. They say two of them were within arm's reach of the infant. Moser is also charged with DUI and driving with a suspended license.
A routine traffic stop in Lucasville over the weekend may have put a halt to a multi-state crime spree. The Portsmouth Daily Times is reporting that 32-year-old Robert Heffley and 42-year-old Kimberly Keller, both of Sioux Falls, South Dakota, are held in the Scioto County Jail on charges of receiving stolen property. They were arrested after troopers from the Portsmouth Post of the Ohio Highway Patrol pulled their vehicle over on State Route 348. Police claim they then discovered it had been stolen in Illinois and was allegedly filled with items purchased with fraudulent checks. Troopers say the couple was wanted for passing bad checks in Florida, Virginia, Missouri, Washington State, Arkansas, and Oklahoma. They're also suspected of doing the same thing in three other states. Scioto deputies say they've received an extradition request for Heffley from Oklahoma, while Missouri is seeking to extradite Keller.
Augusta may have a new mayor by the end of the day. Mary Ziegler tells the Maysville Ledger-Independent she plans to resign at a special meeting of City Council this afternoon. Her replacement may be announced at that time as well. Ziegler says she's been thinking about stepping down for some time. Her husband is retiring soon, and she continues to work full-time for the Augusta Independent School District. Ziegler was re-elected mayor last November and also served on city council for 8 years.
Mayor Steve Gilmore is confident Ashland will have a new city manager by the end of March. City commissioners met in executive session for several hours last week to narrow the field of candidates for the post. Gilmore says there are some top-notch applicants.
And I was concerned about it because, you know, we went through a couple situations. And several are sitting city managers now. Several have Kentucky ties, which kind of pulls in that cultural situation that sometimes you get a person, a family, just, you know, but these people want to come to Ashland, Kentucky, or they wouldn't apply. So I feel pretty good about a selection, geared for the worst, but hoping for the best.
Gilmore says commissioners may call in as many as 5 people for interviews in Ashland.
Ashland's departments of planning and economic development have been consolidated into a single unit. City commissioners gave final approval to the charge last week. The new department is headed by Chris Pullman, who says all the unit's personnel have been trained to work with people interested in starting or expanding businesses in Ashland.
What we've been able to do is sort of transition that mentality over to making them all economic development professionals. So now when we go in and we talk to a new business or an existing business that either wants to expand or build, their plan might not work, but our guys now take the time to sit down with them and talk to them about what might work. So we're sort of taking that next step of engagement with our business community.
Pullman says that's essentially the idea, to make Ashland city government more business friendly.
The Kentucky House Education Committee has endorsed passage of a so-called Neighborhood Schools Bill. The measure, sponsored by Republican State Representative Kevin Bratcher of Louisville, allows children to attend the school closest to them, though it exempts magnet and traditional schools. Pastor Jerry Stevenson of the Midwest Church of Christ in West Louisville supports the bill. He says the closing of neighborhood schools and busing children elsewhere has fueled the deterioration of those areas and opened the door for drug trafficking and other criminal behavior.
I believe it's criminal. And for you to continue down the same path, you are participating in the criminal activity that is going on with our children. And I'm asking you, give our children and our parents the opportunity.
And Stevenson contends that opportunity comes in the form of more choices for parents. However, State Representative Attica Scott of Jefferson County says busing to achieve racial and cultural diversity is good for the community as a whole. The Democrat bristles at the suggestion that it comes at the expense of certain neighborhoods.
I'm not going to leave here allowing you all to think that I put my babies on buses to come home to become addicted to alcohol and drugs or to shoot someone on the street. That is disgusting and offensive, and not one comment was made about black students being scholars, achievers, leaders, our future.
Jefferson County's school superintendent also opposes the bill, saying it'll reduce educational opportunities for all students.
The Raceland-Worthington School District is looking to make a deal that could help its enrollment. MSPR's Kinsey Thompson reports.
According to the Daily Independent, Raceland wants the Greenup County School District to lessen the restrictions which limit the number of students in the county that can attend the Raceland schools. Raceland board members say the current agreement is forcing their district to send 6 students back to Greenup in the fall. They add that the current agreement doesn't take into consideration families that have moved from district to district since 2012. Greenup Superintendent Sherry Horsley says students going to Raceland next year is costing her district $500,000 of state funding. However, Raceland Superintendent Larry Coldiron thinks families should have the opportunity to choose where their kids attend school. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio News, I'm Kinsey Thompson.
A bill co-sponsored by Flemingsburg State Representative John Sims would make it easier for someone who has relatives employed by a certain school district to run for the school board in that district. Democrat John Sims' measure would remove the eligibility restrictions for candidates with an aunt, uncle, son-in-law, or daughter-in-law employed by the school board. LaRue County Middle School Principal Jason Dietry says it's difficult for rural school districts to find school board candidates. He says relaxing the eligibility standards would help a little.
When you look at it from my perspective, you're more likely to have nepotism from uncles hiring nephews than you are nephews hiring uncles or aunts. So from a rural school district, we're looking for some relief to be able to rectify the law to make it more equitable.
Sims' bill has cleared the House Education Committee and has been sent to the floor for consideration.
Once the school's Board of Regents names his replacement, retiring Morehead State University President Wayne Andrews plans to reach out to that person. Andrews says he'll do everything he can to help MSU's next president transition into the job. According to Andrews, among other things, he'll talk to that individual about relationships.
We have students from 41 nations around the world, so we have many international students on campus. I do not believe today, based on the information I received this morning, that we have any students that were affected by the travel ban. So the students that are here didn't have a problem. They weren't moving in and out through airports and all that. So I think we're okay.
Andrew says he and his wife, Sue, have constructed a good foundation for Morehead State's next president, and he wants to help his successor build on it. The lone finalist for the job, Dr. Jay Morgan, visits campus on March 5th and 6th. The university's Board of Regents wants to name MSU's next president sometime next month. That person is slated to take over for Andrews on July 1st.
Governor Bevin is weighing in on a Second Amendment lawsuit out of California. That story from Will Clark.
Governor Bevin has filed a friend of the court brief in the case of Peruta versus San Diego County, a suit challenging the constitutionality of a California law restricting the use of handguns outside of the home for self-defense. In a statement, Bevin says Kentucky and the other 25 states must stand united against arbitrary government overreach and this unconstitutional attack on the Second Amendment. Indiana, Ohio, and West Virginia are among the other states who have filed briefs in the case. I'm Will Clark.
Kentucky Congressman Andy Barr claims unconventional monetary policies pursued by the Federal Reserve Board during President Obama's administration have held back the country's recovery from the recession. The Lexington Republican made the charge to Fed Chair Janet Yellen during a hearing in Washington last week.
Since the beginning of the recovery in 2009, the Fed's improvisational policies, including near-zero interest rates, three rounds of quantitative easing, and a $4.5 trillion balance sheet, have failed to deliver their predicted result. GDP growth during the Obama administration averaged a mere 1.8%.
Barr says that's well below the growth forecast by the Fed and not even close to the 3.5% to 4% growth average during previous recoveries.
And finally, this afternoon, four local recreation trail projects are among 21 statewide that will share in $1.3 million being handed out by Kentucky Governor Matt Bevin. Maysville Mayor David Cartmell says the city is getting $50,000 to build a walking trail around its 30 to 40 acre industrial park. Cartmell notes over 700 people are employed there.
I think that clincher of it was that it served so many people. You know, in a time where you're trying to get everyone away from a sedentary lifestyle, I just think it was a kind of a natural fit for us. And plus, you don't want people leaving the premises when they go to lunch. I think it just made it, I think it was a natural fit for industry and for us.
The city of Mount Sterling is getting $100,000 for its Adena Trail and Depot Park Trailhead project. Owsley County will receive almost $44,000 for a local walking trail. And the city of Stanton is getting over $73,000 for its Judy Trail project.
Taking a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, tonight partly cloudy skies with lows around 49 degrees in the valleys and around 55 on the ridges. Tomorrow, warm, mostly cloudy skies with isolated showers late, highs around 69 degrees. Chance of rain is at 20%. Tomorrow night, cloudy with scattered showers likely, lows around 51 degrees. That chance of rain is at 50%. And for your Wednesday, mostly cloudy with a 30% chance of showers in the morning, highs around 65 degrees. Looking at the current temperatures around the region, Ashland at 65 degrees, Flemingsburg at 67, Inez at 68 degrees, Lexington at 70 degrees, Winchester at 69, and it is currently 68 degrees in Morehead.
445, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State. Public Radio. It is great to have you along on this Monday afternoon. On our feature segment, a project spearheaded by two Craft Academy students at Morehead State University is en route to the International Space Station. MSPR's Jacob Lindberg reports.
From the same launch pad that sent the first moonwalkers to space in 1969, the SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket took off for orbit Sunday morning. Inside, 5,500 pounds of resupply cargo and an experiment that began in a biology classroom at MSU.
The International Space Station introduces a really new and exciting platform for us to use for biology research.
That's Danielle Gibson. She and Will Casto are seniors in Craft Academy, which allows select high school students to take college courses full-time. Their undertaking involving the effect of microgravity conditions on smooth muscle cells could give health researchers a better understanding of issues that have a big impact on Kentucky and the Appalachian region.
Smooth muscle lines, human arteries and veins, so it plays a very important role in conditions such as hypertension, and as we all know here in eastern Kentucky, hypertension is a very prevalent issue facing Appalachia and its people.
According to a 2015 report from the United Health Foundation, hypertension, otherwise known as high blood pressure, plagues 40.3% of males and 37.9% of females in Kentucky.
The better we understand the contraction and the contractile mechanism, the better we can manipulate it, control it, hopefully for the benefit of not only Kentuckians, but people across the globe.
That was Will Casto. He and Gibson both attended the launch at NASA's Kennedy Space Center in Florida. The students started the project about a year ago in the classroom of Dr. Michael Fultz, biology professor and health researcher at MSU.
So this is truly original research that, you know, may pave the way for potential drug development later down the road.
Jennifer Carter, assistant director of academic services for Kraft, connected the trio with Space Tango, a Lexington-based research institute which designed and engineered the containment vessel for the experiment. It was blasted into space at 9:39 Sunday morning from Launch Pad 39A. It is expected to reach the International Space Station Wednesday. For Morehead State Public Radio News, I'm Jacob Lindberg.
It is 4:47. You are tuned to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. The latest national and international news is coming up on All Things Considered at 5 o'clock this afternoon right here on MSPR. And Nathan has sports, and he's up right now.
The Eagles will battle down in Tennessee. Good afternoon. Reporting from Morehead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Nathan Gutierrez. To start things off, the Morehead State women's basketball team has OVC action tonight at 7, playing without leading scorer senior Brianna McQueen, who's out with a knee injury. Coach Greg Todd's Eagles have a road game at Tennessee Tech.
Go to Cookeville and being short of our top players, it's going to be a challenge, and the new staff has done a great job.
At 19-8 overall, 9-5 in the OVC, the Morehead women will be looking for the season sweep of Tech, who they beat last month at Johnson Arena, 79-65. Interim Morehead State men's basketball coach Preston Spradlin isn't discouraged by the Eagles' 0-2 weekend trip to Nashville, even though back-to-back losses to Tennessee State and Belmont dropped his team to 13-14 overall, and to 9-5 in the OVC. Spradlin says his Eagles, who started the season at 2-8, know how to handle adversity.
We'll bounce back. I got a very positive locker room after that game right there, despite the loss, despite the margin of victory that they had over us. I got an optimistic group of guys that are ready to get back to Morehead and get back to work and get ready for the next team.
That next team is Tennessee Tech, who the Eagles entertain on Thursday night at 9. Two first-round games tonight mark the start of the girls' 61st district tournament in Frenchburg. In the 6 o'clock opener, Fleming County takes on Bath County, followed by Menifee County against Rowan County. It's been a rough season for the 10-19 Lady Vikings of Coach Elaine Douglas, who've been hit hard by injuries and illnesses.
I feel like my team's probably at a level of where you should be about the first or second week of January. And that's just due to, you know, injuries and be able to consistently play the same ones on the floor. So, you know, they work hard. They give it all they got. And, you know, I'm really proud of them.
Menifee County is 19-11, including a pair of regular season victories over Rowan. In other girls' play, in the 62nd District, host East Carter meets Elliott, and West Carter battles Morgan. In the 63rd, it's Russell against Raceland, and in the 64th, Ashland Blazer tangles with Fairview. On the boys' side, Raceland entertains Greenup County in the 63rd District. Greenup coach Harold Tackett's 20-9 Musketeers beat the Rams twice during the regular season.
Yeah, you know, it gives you just a slight, you know, bit of confidence that, you know, you have played well against them. But, you know, when you get into this one and done situation, anything can happen. And you know, you can't take your past for your future. And, you know, we're going to have to come out ready to play.
Also tonight, Boyd takes on Rose Hill Christian in the 64th District. After coming off an 82-77 win over the Georgia Bulldogs, the Kentucky basketball team will hit the road to Mizzou Arena for a contest against Missouri tomorrow at 9 p.m. With only four games left in the regular season, assistant coach Kenny Payne believes this is now the time for the young Cats to take the next step in their game.
Now is the time where we need to become more consistent. We need to play with great energy every single night. We need to defend the ball, on-ball defense, got to be better. And in spurts, it has been good. We needed to be consistent.
The Wildcats are 22-5 on the year. The Tigers are 7-19. And after a close 94-90 win over Virginia Tech, Coach Rick Pitino and his Louisville Cardinals will travel to Chapel Hill for a conference matchup against 23-5 North Carolina on Wednesday. The Cards are 22-5 on the year. Game time is set for 9 p.m. Two former Kentucky Wildcats will now play alongside each other. The Sacramento Kings agreed to trade DeMarcus Cousins to the New Orleans Pelicans, teaming him with Anthony Davis. Kentucky head coach John Calipari says the two could be a dynamic duo eventually.
Any issues DeMarcus would have defensively, well, Anthony Davis is behind you, leading the league in blocks. So this could be crazy. And it's they just got to figure it out together, and it's just not going to happen in a week. It just doesn't. But I'll tell you what, they're two players that want to win.
Anthony Davis was named the MVP in last night's NBA All-Star game. There is no change at the top of the AP Men's College Basketball poll. AP correspondent Jack Briggs reports.
The top three teams in the Associated Press men's basketball poll remain the same as in last week's poll. At number one is Gonzaga, and despite remaining unbeaten with two wins last week, the Bulldogs lost a first-place vote. They received 59 from the media panel, while second-ranked Villanova got 5 and third-ranked Kansas 1. Following the Bulldogs, who are 28-0, the Wildcats and Jayhawks are Arizona and UCLA in the top five. The second five features Oregon, Louisville, North Carolina, Baylor, and Duke. Baylor drops all the way from 4th to 9th after losing twice last week. This is Jack Briggs.
The Morehead State baseball team is still on the road after going 2-2 in this past weekend's season opening tournament. The Eagles travel to Starkville to take on Mississippi State tomorrow afternoon. MSU head coach Mike McGuire says because of his team's experience, he doesn't expect his group to be intimidated by playing at the SEC powerhouse.
It's nice having that good nucleus that are experienced, and I think some of the ups and downs we experienced a year ago can be attributed a little bit to youth. And you know, now that we're a veteran club, I'm very excited about that.
Mississippi State is 3-1 so far this season. And finally for today in sports, Zach Cozar admits he's surprised that he's still wearing a Cincinnati Reds uniform. With the 31-year-old shortstop just a year away from free agency, he expected the Reds to send him packing over the winter.
I didn't know really what to expect this offseason, whether I was going to get traded or not. It just so happened the shortstop market's not that great right now. So, you know, I want to win with the Reds. I've won here before. We've been on teams that have won, so and it's fun. So I want these young guys to kind of feel that too.
Cozar is expected to pair up with 22-year-old second baseman Jose Peraza to form the Reds' double play combination this summer. In another note, Cincinnati is expected to sign 35-year-old veteran utility man Ryan Rayburn to a minor league contract. He hit .220 in 113 games last season for Colorado. That will conclude your sports report. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Nathan Gutierrez.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Men's basketball welcomes Tennessee Tech at 9 p.m. on Thursday. The game will be broadcast on the CBS Sports Network. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
It is 4:55. You are tuned to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. And once again, because of the President's Day holiday, there is no stock report from Bud Luke this afternoon. Just taking a look at some business news from the Associated Press. State and federal authorities have told Dakota Access Oil Pipeline protesters at an encampment in North Dakota to leave. But many in the camp say they're not going. The deadline is Wednesday. It comes amid concerns that spring flooding could wash tons of trash into nearby rivers. State officials are warning of an environmental disaster if the camp is not cleaned up and closed. Some in the camp say that the flood fears are overblown. They plan to seek higher ground, but they have no plans to leave despite the threat of arrest. Pipeline opponents say the $3.8 billion project to move North Dakota oil to Illinois threatens the environment. Dallas-based developer Energy Transfer Partners disputes that. A former counterterrorism chief for London's Metropolitan Police says Britain's withdrawal from the European Union could compromise the security of other EU members if they do not continue to have full access to British intelligence. Richard Walton says that Brexit represents a risk to the safety of other EU nations, as Britain's membership is more beneficial to the EU than to the UK in relation to security and counterterrorism. Britain's voted in a 2016 referendum to leave the 28-member bloc, although the details of that divorce are still to be negotiated. In a security paper released Monday, Walton says Brexit will have little, if any, impact on Britain's national security or counterterrorism capabilities. And when it comes to getting stuck in traffic on the way to and from work, Los Angeles leads the world. Transportation analytics firm Inrix says drivers in the car-crazy California metropolis spent 104 hours last year in congestion. That beat second place Moscow at 91 hours and third place New York at 89. Inrix says the U.S. had half of the top 10 most congested cities in the world. The U.S. was the most traffic-clogged developed country, with drivers nationwide averaging 42 hours stuck in traffic last year. San Francisco was the fourth most congested city, while Bogota, Colombia was fifth. Sao Paulo, London, Atlanta, Paris, and Miami rounded out the top 10. Traffic jams cost drivers in the U.S. nearly $300 billion last year, or an average of $1,400 each.
And taking one last look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, tonight partly cloudy skies with lows around 49 degrees in the valleys and around 55 on the ridges. Tomorrow, warm, mostly cloudy skies with isolated showers likely, highs around 69 degrees. Chance of rain is at 20%. Tomorrow night, cloudy with scattered showers and lows around 51 degrees. Chance of rain is at 50%. And for your Wednesday, mostly cloudy skies with a 30% chance of showers in the morning, highs around 65 degrees. Wednesday night, mostly cloudy skies with a 20% chance of showers, lows around 55 degrees. And for your Thursday, mostly cloudy with a 40% chance of showers, highs around 69 degrees. Thursday night, mostly cloudy with a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms, lows around 59 degrees. And now taking a look at the current temperatures in the region, Ashland at 65 degrees, Flemingsburg at 67, Inez at 68, Lexington at 70, Winchester at 69, and 68 in Moorhead.
And that will bring the curtain down on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had assistance from Chuck Meraz, Nathan Gutierrez, Courtney Howell, Sean Delaney, Ashley Chapman, Xavier Atkins, Kenzie Thompson, and Victoria Egee. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Courtney Howell and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Moorhead State. Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.